We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and it's my joy to be able to meet with you occasionally like this and just open up the Word of God and share some Christian principles that may be a blessing and a help to you. We want to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, that describe God's definition of love. And we want to focus our attention on applying that in our homes. I've entitled the series, It's More Than Saying I Love You. Because it's easy to say I love you to the members of our family, but love God's way is truly more than just saying it. There are just two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self. And showing love in our homes involves more than the words I love you. Now listen to, I think, a great definition of love. It's sacrificing yourself to give to God and others, expecting nothing in return. I'll say that again. Love is sacrificing yourself to give to God and others, expecting nothing in return. See, love is a command of God that's addressed to my will. And since he commands me to love, that means he's going to give me the ability to love. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, give us God's definition of what love looks like. It says in verse 4, charity, or love, suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, we want to focus our attention then on what God calls charity. You see, God's love is sacrificing yourself to give to God and to others. Basically, God's love is saying no to yourself and yes to God and yes to others. You remember we said just two choices on the shelf? Pleasing God or pleasing self. Or we could say it, loving God or loving self. Now, since he commands me to love, God's going to give me the ability to do that. First of all, that kind of love is patient and non-defensive. The Bible says charity suffers long. That simply means it waits for God's way and God's timing. Oh my, when I'm loving someone, I'm not impatient. I'm long-fused. I have the ability to wait and not lose patience. And I basically have the ability to give people back to God and wait on him. It says that charity suffers long. Now, if I'm not focusing my attention on God's love, then I'm focusing my attention on my love, my self-love. You know what that always comes out to look like? Hey, it's got to be my way. It's got to be my timing, and that means now. I can't wait for God to work. And so I find myself snapping at people. That's my self-love. But if indeed it's God's love that's coming through, then I'm not giving God a deadline. Oh, we're good at that, aren't we? Giving God a deadline. This is what I want you to do, Lord, in their life, and I want you to do it now. In fact, yesterday would have been fine. Sometimes we do that with our kids, don't we? Give our kids to God, and we say, now, Lord, this is what needs to happen. But you know, they're God's kids. And God works in their lives in his own special way. Isn't that true also of our spouses? Allowing God to work on your spouse in areas that you've probably already mentioned. Yeah. So it's usually not a lack of information that our spouse is struggling with. It's a lack of motivation. And that's where God comes in. You see, if I'm filled with myself, then I don't suffer long. In fact, I say, I won't suffer. You will. Because I see no value in suffering. But God says, when His love is shining through my life, I am willing to suffer long. Now, when I'm willing to suffer long, then that means not only am I patient and non-defensive, but secondly, I'm reaching out to those in the home. My suffering long allows me, in fact, it forces me to reach out to other people in the home. The Bible says, and is kind. That simply means that when I'm loving you in the home, I'm asking questions. I'm seeking to discover, what are you needing? What's happening in your life? Where are you hurting? I'm looking for gold, as it were. Andrew Carnegie once said, when gold is mined, several tons of dirt have to be moved to get an ounce of gold. But you don't go into the mine looking for dirt. You go in looking for gold. Did you know that he had 43 millionaires working for him? None of them were millionaires before they started working for him. And he looked for the gold in them, and he sought to develop it. Therefore, he found how they could be used, and he perfected it. He encouraged them. He strengthened them, and they became leaders in that field. Now, the same thing could be done in our families, in our homes. We need to be looking for the applaudable aspects in our family members and praise them. Wow, what a blessing we could be if instead of looking for faults, we began to look for strengths. We began to look for praiseworthy notes and encourage each other and even bring in other people to help meet needs that maybe you can't. Maybe bring in folks in the church that would help you encourage the members of your family. You see, the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Are you kind? Would the members of your family say that kindness is in your lips? Now, the opposite of that is nasty and hurtful in words and deeds. Does what seems best for me instead of what's best for others. It's a me-first attitude. But when I'm kind, that means I want to be active and useful in the lives of the folks in my family. In fact, it even means doing the unexpected, maybe the undeserved, and the unrewarded. Because being kind considers others more important than myself and won't rest until their needs are met. It's the servant attitude of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. So if I'm developing a love that suffers long, then I'll be developing a love that is kind. And it won't be unkind at all. Sometimes like we are to our kids, or maybe we are to our parents, or to our brothers or sisters. You see, we need to be kind to everybody, not just to the folks that love us, not just to the folks that are kind and thoughtful to us. In fact, in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21, we see that Joseph was kind to the half-brothers that sold him into slavery. Now, when their dad died, it would have been so easy for Joseph to have said, okay, dad's dead, he's not going to know what's going to happen, and it would have been so easy for him to have killed his half-brothers who sold him into slavery. But not Joseph. Joseph was kind because he had learned how to suffer long and allow God to work in his life. Now, when that happens, the Bible says that our love is also described as being non-jealous. Non-jealous. The Bible says that charity envieth not. See, that was the problem with Joseph's half-brothers. They were so envious of the privileges that Joseph had. Now, obviously, Joseph was pampered. Obviously, he was a spoiled child. But that didn't give excuse for his brothers to sell him into slavery, basically to consider him dead to the family. They were envying him. But the Bible says that when I am experiencing God's love in my heart and life, I'm not envious of anyone. Now, it's very easy to be envious of our brother or our sister when they are praised, maybe when they're lifted up, maybe when things go well for them at school and everybody's pleased with maybe their grades or maybe their accomplishments. And it is so hard, especially if you have teachers that talk to your parents and say, well, if so-and-so, speaking of you, would just be a good student like his sister. Oh, man. You hate hearing things like that, and it's so easy to be envious then of your brother or your sister. That is not a characteristic of God. Not a characteristic at all. And sometimes we find ourselves allowing envy to eat us alive. See, the word envieth not means that you're a person who doesn't boil or stew. You're not jealous when good things happen to other people, because you're not comparing yourself with other people. But when you're filled with self-love, well, that's exactly what you do. You seethe when other people are praised, or you laugh when other people weep. You resent and want what other people have. Is that the way you are? Do you envy people? You know, and sometimes it's tough to be a wife of a leader, maybe a leader in church or a leader in government or a leader in a civic organization. Sometimes wives are overlooked when the praise is directed to their husbands, especially when the great idea was yours in the first place. But you see, when you have God's love, you're not envious of the praise that He gets. You are thrilled when someone else gets praise, because that is a characteristic of godly love. So, how do you feel when other people are sad, especially when that person's not your best friend? Are you happy? Do you envy the good things that are happening to them? You know, envy is something that will destroy you. Envying other people's abilities and maybe their looks or their brains or whatever. King Saul lived there. Remember that? He was envious of the popularity that David was experiencing. But if you have God's love in your heart, you will be able to say, it is suffering long, and it is kind, and it's not envying those in my family that are being blessed, that are being praised. If you need this kind of love, it doesn't come from hard work. It comes from long prayer. It comes from saturating yourself in the Word of God and asking the Spirit of Christ to change your heart. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, O God. Make it be like You. So until the next time, as we continue our study of love in the home, may God bless you in a fantastic way.